Nobody has more respect for women than I do. Nobody.
Hillary Clinton wants to abolish it, believe me. She wants to abolish our Second Amendment.
I think they didn't deny it. I don't think anybody denied it.
Other presidents did not call, did write letters, and some presidents didn't do anything.
Many people have come out and said, I'm right.
You really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop?
Hello and welcome to Fallacious Trump, the podcast where we use the insane ramblings of Trump 2, The Revenge, to explain logical fallacies. I'm your host, Jim.
And I'm your other host, Mark. A logical fallacy is an error in reasoning that results in bad or invalid arguments. And the logical fallacy we're looking at this rather depressed week is fault as virtue.
Yeah. Beginning of a fairly depressed 4 years. Maybe.
Yeah.
4+, who knows? Who knows whether it'll end in 4 years?
Yeah, quite a good Trump 2, The Revenge. This time it's even more personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah fault as virtue
yeah.
is when someone kind of disingenuously reframes a flaw in either a situation or in their personality as actually, if you think about it, a positive.
When you come to think of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works for their audience because of cognitive dissonance, basically. Because holding multiple ideas in your head that compete with each other is uncomfortable psychologically. And so if people, let's take Trump as an example, people who like Trump, if they hear negative things about him, those two things, oh, I like him, but I've heard this bad thing, that's uncomfortable. So if you reframe that undesirable thing as actually a good thing, they're like, oh, yeah, it's a plus, actually, now I come to think of it. So
you can hold both of those things,
reduces that cognitive dissonance, makes you feel all happy again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
Quite easily to do that. So they are prepared to accept any old shit that makes a bad thing actually sound like a good thing.
Yeah. Because they haven't got to do the work then.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well. That's the other thing, isn't it? That certainly when Trump does it, he kind of takes care of the thought process. He said, stick with me, kid. I'll do all the thinking for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you haven't got to worry. You no longer have to question him.
Yes.
You're freed of that.
Because that's what they want already. Like, they're looking for positive things, positive traits of good things. And so the negative thing, if it can be turned into a good thing, then it fits into the thing they're looking for anyway, the thing they want to believe.
Yeah.
So it's easier to believe. So our first example from Trump is in his first debate with Hillary, where she talked about the fact that he didn't really pay any federal income taxes for quite a while.
Or maybe he doesn't want the American people, all of you watching tonight, to know that he's paid nothing in federal taxes, because the only years that anybody's ever seen were a couple of years when he had to turn them over to state authorities when he was trying to get a casino license, and they showed he didn't pay any federal income tax. So
that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid zero, that means zero for troops, zero for vets, zero for schools or health.
So she's making quite a good point, I would say, you little workers who like him, you have to pay your income taxes.
Yep.
You have to pay your state taxes and your federal income taxes, and those go to pay for public services that you might actually then benefit from. And even if you don't, then other people are paying for the ones you do benefit from as well as you and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But he just gets away with it. He didn't do it. He just couldn't be bothered, basically. And that's not a good thing. But but he cuts through all of that with, that makes me smart, because I, you know, I was able to get away with it.
Yes, that was his entire... So everybody says, aha! And in fact, we've heard people say that since. Yeah, he's a smart guy. He worked out a way of not having to pay any tax. And you say, what it does is make you a tax avoider and commit fraud. And we know all that because we've read every single book about him. all of the reframing of the Trump management companies such that, he inherited the skills and the legitimacy to do that from his dad.
So yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's how he made his fortune. That's because his dad gave it to him as a tax dodge.
So
that makes me smart.
So our second example is when it was pointed out in the Republican primary debate, same election, 2016 election, that He was actually pretty corrupt in terms of the money that he gave to politicians and the influence that he bought.
Yeah.
By doing that.
Donald told you for 40 years he's been sitting at that table using his money to buy influence, supporting liberal Democrats like Hillary Clinton and John Kerry, but also supporting the Republican establishment and funding their effort to crush the Tea Party. And now his argument is, after four decades of being part of that influence buying, after Hillary Clinton spending decades being part of that influence selling, that suddenly he will change. But the interesting point is, tonight he hasn't pointed to a single special interest he's willing to take on. He didn't take on Wall Street when he supported the TARP bailout in Wall Street. He won't take on ethanol. And my campaign, by contrast, funded by 1.1 million contributions all over this country.
Thank you, Senator. I want to go to Mr. Trump for a response. $62
at tedcruz.org.
Thank you, Senator.
That's who you got to be accountable to, the people.
Ted was given to PACs. I mean, PACs, you know, these super PACs are a disaster, by the way, folks. Very corrupt. It's going to lead to lots of disasters. But Ted has super PACs, and you have to look at the people that are giving to those super PACs, number one. It's very important to do that. There is total control of the candidates. I know it better than anybody that probably ever lived. And I will tell you this. I know the system far better than anybody else, and I know the system is broken. And I'm the one, because I know it so well, because I was on both sides of it. I was on the other side all my life. And I've always made large contributions. And frankly, I know the system better than anybody else. And I'm the only one up here that's going to be able to fix that system, because that system is wrong.
So basically, he's the poacher turned gamekeeper.
Absolutely, yeah. Because he knows about how all of these
packs
let you get round the law.
Yeah.
He knows where the loopholes are and therefore how to close them up. Not that he did or had ever had any intention to do so.
Yeah, and we've seen constant examples of that, because he still does it.
Yeah, and Democrats have campaigned on campaign finance reform on many occasions. He was doing the sloganeering of draining the swamp and stuff like that, and never did anything about campaign finance or super PACs or, you know, money influencing politics. Because if he had, we wouldn't be in a situation where the richest man in the world
is part of
basically
his team.
Bought a quasi government role.
Yeah, it's a quango, isn't it? Exactly.
And I, at no point do I want to be aligned in any way with Ted Cruz.
But. Yes. Oh, no, that was the kind of.
Yeah, that's the worst.
It was sort of that uncanny valley kind of thing, as he's just going, oh no, it's I'm almost agreeing. He's almost making sense as a human being, but not quite. Yeah.
That's cognitive dissonance for you.
Yeah.
So our third example is from the debate with Hillary again.
Yeah.
And he was asked about the fact that he did all the birtherism stuff and questioned Obama's citizenship.
We're talking about racial healing in this segment. What do you say to Americans?
Well, it was very, I say nothing. I say nothing because I was able to get him to produce it. He should have produced it a long time before. I say nothing. But let me just tell you, when you talk about healing, I think that I've developed very, very good relationships over the last little while with the African-American community. I think you can see that. And I feel that they really wanted me to come to that conclusion. And I think I did a great job and a great service, not only for the country, but even for the president, in getting him to produce his birth certificate.
Secretary Clinton.
So, yeah, it was a service for Obama.
Yeah.
Constantly questioning whether he was actually born in Kenya.
Exactly. And the entire black American citizenry kind of go, wondering all this time.
He did a great job.
He did do a good job.
Because they had questions. Admittedly.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
You know, only questions that he raised and pushed repeatedly.
Yeah.
But the questions were out there, and he got the answer to the questions.
As a consequence, I've heard people say, it was you all along. We've got 4 more years of this.